Blog Talk Radio
presents Applause Radio Show.
Everybody, welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I thank you all for listening. You could be doing anything else in the world, and you're hanging out with me, and that's pretty cool. And you'll be happy to hang out with our guest tonight, Mr. Michael Whelan. He's a music composer, producer. He's done it all in music, and he's been on before, and he's got a new album out. And I just want to say thank you again to Jim Meskimen for joining me last night and for being so patient. I was losing my, I was having trouble breathing, so I couldn't concentrate on our interview. I was concentrating on breathing, so very strange, I know. But Michael has been on the show before. Michael is an Emmy Award composer, pianist, drummer. He's got over 600 television and film scores, and he just continues banging this stuff out, and it's great. His new album is Imaginary Trains, and we're going to play a couple of cuts tonight, and we're going to discuss it and let you know when you could get yours. And Michael, welcome to the show, everybody. Michael Whelan, how are you, sir?
I am so good, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be back and talking to you about this.
Yeah, and also, guys, listening in, please, please, please call in to 646-478-0999. Michael is kind enough to give away two tickets to his streaming concert that I think is on, the 22nd?
It is a week from tomorrow. So, yep, right. 8:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 Western Time, and I'm a little freaked out, but I'm excited.
are you doing all the instruments yourself, or are you going to have a full ensemble?
No. Like, you know, with my electronic music, I play it all myself, so I'm going to be kind of playing along with about 50% of the tracks from the record, and I'm covering the rest myself, and so I'm going to be running around like a chicken without my head, so.
Absolutely. I hear you on that. I hear that was me today. But, I can't imagine you. Well, the setup you have in your studio is sort of a circle. So you could just spin around and just play everything as you go. So you're all set up for that, thankfully. Now, what did I want to ask you? Oh, and you also said if a lucky caller would like to call in, you'd be happy to give them away a CD as well, correct?
I'd be happy to give them the CD. They can also have a free pass to watch the streaming concert. It's absolutely.
Nice. Well, guys, there you go. Call 646-478-0999, and we're not even going to ask you a question to win. You just got to call in to win, and you don't want to miss this event. You get to watch Michael in action, and when you hear this music tonight, you are going to see what I'm talking about, that he has a setup with, he must have every keyboard under the sun. And what's your favorite? I always liked Korgs.
Well, do I even have a Korg anymore? No, but the interesting thing with what I'm doing a week from Friday is I'm actually going to Philadelphia. I'm going to a private synthesizer museum called EMIAP, which is the Electronic Music Education and Preservation Project, and
cool.
It was put together by this Vince, who has the largest private collection of synthesizers in the world. So, I mean, and Joanne, I mean, I don't mean like he has like 10. I mean, the guy has like 5,000.
Wow.
And he has some very, very important historical instruments there. So, like, if you've ever heard of the Mini Moog, he has 22 Mini Moogs, including the first four they ever created, the first prototype, the second prototype, the third prototype, and the fourth prototype. He has Keith Emerson's, from Emerson, Lake & Palmer, his entire touring rig, the huge, big Moog that he had, his organs, everything else. So in the rig that I'm playing next week, I actually use Keith's modular Moog, and I'm going to use his Hammond organ as well. So it's weird because you're playing this stuff and you remember as a kid, like all the stuff that Keith Emerson played on it. And on the one hand, you're sort of like blown away and you have to pinch yourself. And the other part, you're like, I really hope I don't break this.
Oh, man. Right. Well, you're going to be like a kid in a candy store over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're being incredibly nice. This is really the first big streaming event that they've ever done out of MEF. They've had some private concerts, you know, much smaller or whatever, but this is like full-scale camera crews coming down from New York City, and, you know, and we're going to do the whole thing. So I have my fingers crossed, and, like, hopefully I won't forget the music.
Right. I'm sure you won't. Lil, I got to ask you, do you have a collectible that you have, one of your keyboards?
Well, I do. One of the keyboards that I have here is an instrument called a Yamaha DX1 FM synthesizer. And when it came out in 1984-85, the instrument cost about $11,000, and they only made 100 of them. And the keyboard is very special. It was actually made by the Yamaha piano division and then put into this huge, beautiful rosewood case. So the instrument weighs about 112 pounds. It's a monster to, like, you know, lug around, but it has an amazing sound. And recently I had the opportunity to get one, and I now have one. If you can find one of these synthesizers now, because there's really only about 25 in the world that are working, you're gonna pay somewhere between $75,000 to about $120,000 for it.
Wow. Yeah.
And
I mean, do you know how to service and tune everything as well? Are you mechanical with them, or are you just?
Well, the DX1 is really, really complicated, and it's really hard to get parts for it. But for the newer stuff, yes, I'm very good with the newer stuff, and I the care and feeding of all the gear is, you know, it is fine. But, you know, the key for me is, because, you know, people ask me, well, why do you have so much equipment? You could do this all on a computer. It's true. I can do the whole thing on a computer and whatever.
Right.
But A, not going to sound the same. And also, when you put your hands on different instruments, you get like that feedback loop, you get that visceral feel, and you make different choices, you know, and every once in a while you tweak something and something changes in real time, or, you know, you mess with something. Or on the DX1, it has something called polyphonic aftertouch, and it can change the quality of sound by just sort of touching and retouching the key that you have your hands down on. So, I get very inspired by the gear. I get very inspired by creating sounds, and you know, hopefully, you know, when everyone has a chance to check out the record next week, they'll say, oh wow, okay, well, this guy really knows what he's doing with sound design, because I work very hard on creating sounds. Then once I have a big mountain of sounds, then I actually start writing the music.
Right. Oh my god, hold on one second, I got to play this for you. Tell me what this is. Hold on, I got
sure.
If you can hear me, hang on, I just got to reach back and grab this thing here. Tell me, Michael, if you can tell me what this is. I can't believe I still have one. I have one from a very long time ago. Tell me if you know this sound. What is that? What keyboard is that?
I think, wow, So, Joanne, you're really putting me on the spot, but I think it's a Casio
C101. Yep, one of the old fuckers when we were kids. This is what we had. I still have it. Can you believe it? I still have one. Unbelievable.
There's geek chic out there, and there's kids all over the internet right now that are cutting tracks on that thing right now as we speak. So you are very hip.
Really? I didn't know that people were still, I didn't even know they even existed anymore. I mean, that was when we were kids, you had the little tiny organ. What was that called? Wasn't the Hammond. It was square. It was very small. It was almost
Fox organ.
Thank you. Yep, we had one of those, and then these came into play, and this is what I would play with. I'd fool around on that. So I was dying to know if you could guess the sound, which I knew you would. So, all right, let's get to the album. Let's get to the album. So on March 17th, you did, was that a pre-order, March 17th?
Yes, on March 17th, the first single came out, and the first single that came out was a song called Across the World to Be With You.
Mm-hmm. On April 6th, I think Distance was released. I have that one. I want to play that one tonight.
Distance came out, and Donna Lewis and I, Donna, everyone might remember Donna from the 90s. She had a couple of huge hit songs, wonderful vocalist, wonderful person. So we collaborated on that. And then a week from tomorrow, the day of the concert, April 22nd, the entire album comes out.
Right. Now, the title, Imaginary Trains, and it just came to you, or is there something behind it?
Okay, so this album is exploring my love and connection and influence of German electronic music.
Mm.
So you know anything about Tangerine Dream or Kraftwerk or really any of the German school, trains are a big inspiration for them. Mm. You might remember that scene from Risky Business when Tom Cruise and Rebecca De Mornay are going for it on the L train in Chicago, and there's that incredible Tangerine Dream piece underneath it. So I remember seeing that movie for the first time, and I was so floored by the music. It changed my life. What is that?
Right.
Really, for the last 40 years, it's been a huge influence on my music, on sound design, on all the scoring work that I've done for film and TV. I love that kinetic, pulsing, rhythmic thing, and then you start, putting melodies and textures on top of it, and, you're just off to the races.
Yeah, well, I'm dying to play it, and I was saying to Michael before we got on the air that after the day I had, this album is something I definitely needed to hear. It calmed me down, it soothed me, and I just sat back and relaxed and enjoyed the music. So I would like you guys to do the same thing. This is Imaginary Trains by Michael Whalen. Enjoy it. Play, please. Why are we not playing? Come on. Sorry, Michael. Hold on. What's going on?